Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Well, why don't you guys help me welcome Pastor George Shakwalele.
Thank you. Good evening. It's my joy to be back here. This is home away from home. And I'm always grateful for the opportunity I have to visit with you, more so the kind of liberty and freedom that I enjoy among fellow believers here at Refuge. I don't feel a stranger every time I'm in your midst. And so it's a great joy to be with you tonight as we go through the book of Joshua, specifically looking at chapter 2. As you'd notice, there's so much we can talk about in that chapter. But what I'll be doing tonight, I'll be walking through that chapter, and I'll focus so much on Rahab's confession. That's where I'll dwell much of my time and try to expand as much as I can that part of Scripture. There's so much we can appreciate about Rahab, yet considering time, we can cover as much. And so, those of you who do not know me, like our brother Isaac has said, I'm from Zambia. My name is George Shakwalele. The second name, for some people, it's difficult. But I tell people, if you want to find it easier to pronounce it, just imagine as if you are singing. Shakwalele. Very easy to do. Okay. Shall we pause in a word of prayer before we turn to God's word? We give you thanks, our Father, tonight for the privilege we have again to be in your house, to listen to your word, taught, preached. We pray that you'll be pleased to abide with us by your Spirit. Enable both preacher and listeners to grasp those truths you'd want us to appreciate even from your word tonight. Thank you for each one of us you've brought here. We pray that you will bless us and meet us at the very point of need. This we pray, asking in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll not read the book, but I'll be moving as we move along. I'll be reading parts of the passage. And what we immediately see is Joshua taking leadership. You recall, I guess, from what was covered in chapter 1, Joshua is being encouraged by God to be courageous, to be strong. And God assures him of his presence, like he was with Moses. God assures Joshua that you'll be with him for the rest of his life. And what is interesting is to note in chapter 1, not only does God affirm his presence and his power to be at work in and through him, but even the people affirm their allegiance to Joshua. They tell him, we are with you. We will obey every word you are going to command us. For any leader to function and to be effective in carrying out a given mission in the Christian ministry, the first thing is to be sure of your calling. To be sure of God calling you to ministry, to be sure of God's presence in your life, because that is very vital. And God does that to Joshua in chapter 1. And not only do you need assurance from God, you need assurance of the followers that they are with you. They will give you all the support. When you have all this, it's time to act. It's time to function. It's time to move on to take your leadership position and lead your people. And so Joshua in chapter 2, we see him taking leadership. And his mission was very clear. His mission was to possess the land. The land that God had promised to his people. The land that flows with milk and honey. A land that would become their dwelling place. And so Joshua's mission is simple, clear, straightforward. His mission is to lead the people to possess the land. And we see him demonstrating leadership. Immediately, in chapter 2, verse 1, we are told, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and lodged there." The man demonstrates leadership, and he has a strategy. He does not just rush into moving because God has assured him of his presence. God has assured him of the fact that they will possess the land. The man has strategy. He wants to know how that land is laid out. He wants to know strategic positions, the kind of people that are there. He wants to familiarize himself of the area before he moves on. And what does he do? He sends spies. I remember a friend of mine. I was talking about my research, saying I'm trying to look at how people can be effective in doing missions, especially in parts of the world where people's worldview is that of believing in the spiritual world. And this friend of mine was quick to respond, "Do we need that? The Holy Spirit is enough. You just depend on the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you." Yeah, it's true. But a good leader, you need to know what is on the ground before you can move in to do missions. You need to establish what are the needs, what is needed, so that when you move in, you go well equipped with all the supplies, with all the information to be effective in that which you be doing. And Joshua demonstrates leadership. He sends spies. But it is interesting that immediately the spies move in the area, they are already spotted, they are seen. And the king sends immediately his officials or his intelligence team to go and check out the men that had moved in the area. And we need to appreciate the fact that the word for prostitute, the way it was used, it was also defining the profession that Rahab had. Not only was she a prostitute, but she was in charge of the inn or the hostel or the guest house in the area. And so, innkeeper was synonymous to prostitute. Of course, she used her profession to entertain some of the guests that would come. But we need to appreciate that she was in charge of that place. And so immediately these men walk in, they are picked. And I want to believe that the king had also some intelligence guys who were observing what was going on. Because immediately, before they could settle down, he sends men to go and check out with Rahab, asking her, "Where are the men that came in?" And as much as she entertained men would come, going by her profession, but There is no indication that these two spies had any contact with her in that area. They didn't fall in the web, as it were, got trapped in this web. The king had the power of intelligence team. Immediately the guys walked in, they were noticed. But what is risking in the whole narrative is the way they come to Rahab. No doubt they were convinced, and she didn't argue with them. She said, yes, these men came, but I didn't know where they were from. And she explains her way and saying, afterwards, they left. When it was getting dark, before the gates were closed, that was risky. Like it is in modern time, and even in ancient time, at times prostitutes were used as informers to those who would come. They would function like, if you like, informers of those that would come in the land, foreigners, strange kind of people. And so immediately the king sends for word and was expecting Rahab to cooperate, to forward these men. But as we are going to observe, there is no doubt that Rahab acted out of faith. She chose not to sell out these men because there was something she already had known about God working out through these men and through the people of God. She chose to identify with the people of God by hiding the spies, by hiding them where they could not be seen. As they are interrogating and asking her where the men are, already she had done her homework. She hid them in the roof of the house where she was living in, or the guest house. And she explains her way out of the scheme of finding her wanting. And I want to mention this: the action she took was risky. She had put her life on the line. But because she was convinced that she was doing the right thing because of what God had already done in her life, she chose to identify with God's people. She chose to protect God's people, as we are going to observe later on. Let's look at Rahab's response. The woman had taken two men and hid them, like I've mentioned. In verse 5, we are told, as she explains her way out, and when the gate was about to be closed, at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. And she goes on to say, pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. That was a strategy. And she was quick to do that because she feared that in case they change their mind and say, let's search the house, she quickly advises them, pursue them. You may catch up with them. And so the men launched out in search. And scripture says immediately they left, the gates were closed. And at that moment, she goes now to the men. They had not even rested. Scripture says when they were about to sleep, she goes to see them and engages them in a conversation. Listen to what she says in verse 6. I'll pick it from verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the God, the Lord, has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. She's very clear to these men. She makes a powerful confession. She's saying, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that All who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. And this fear mentioned here was also mentioned in Moses' song in Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, verse 15, we are told as they were singing, "Now are the chiefs of the Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away." And even in verse 16, they mention the fact that the people of the land in Canaan would melt because of fear, because of the people of God as they advance, because God would be fighting for them. She also mentions to them the fact that in verse 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction." She narrates all that she had heard and what God had done through his people. Listen to her confession. She says to them in verse 11, "As soon as we heard about it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." She clearly demonstrates faith in this God, the God of the Israelites. And we do not know how she got these truths, but it is clear from her confession that she had known something about the greatness of God. We must appreciate the fact that when the people of God were being moved from Exodus, God had intended that the Egyptians would know his greatness. In Exodus 7, verse 5, we read, "And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." And so it should not surprise us how Rahab recounts the greatness of God and how Yahweh is seen to be a great God amongst them. And we should not be surprised to see James acknowledging the fact that because of Rahab's actions, our righteousness was credited and she's appreciated as having faith in God. In Hebrews 11, 31, she is among the heroes of faith. "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." I'll be unpacking that part of the confession, but let's move on as I touch on different areas. We see Rahab and the spies in verse 12 to 14. The spies, they give conditions for the oath when she says, "If, as I have spared your life, I request that you spare too my life and that of my family." Let's quickly look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and me, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." She negotiates and she makes an oath, and they give her an assurance that they would do that on condition that she keeps a cord of scarlet by the window. And she ensures that her family stays with her in the house when they come to conquer. And Finally, she is told to keep the conversation to herself, not sharing with anyone. There is no doubt that Rahab fulfilled all this, because in chapter 6, we see that she's spared together with her family. And what we see, the men return to go and report. Afterwards, they are advised by Rahab to use a different route, to stay for 3 days in the wilderness or in the bush to wait, and later on to go back. And when they go back in verse 22 to 24, they report and give a good report. It's interesting to note that they didn't spy the land, but the testimony of Rahab was enough for them to be convinced that the Lord had given them that land. The men reported to Joshua, told him everything that had happened to them. The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us, they reported to Joshua. The spies had two very important facts. The first is that God had been faithful to his promise. And the inhabitants of the land were also demoralized because they knew that that land had been given to God. As a way of applying some parts that we've touched on, may I make a few observations as we will be getting back to the confession of Rahab. The story of Rahab confirms God's love for sinners. Who would think a prostitute like Rahab would be appreciated of her faith and would be a model, if you like, of what faith is all about and should appear in the pages of Scripture as an example of having faith in God? Christ died for sinners, even the chief sinners, as Paul describes himself. Sinners who acknowledge their sinful condition and turn to God in repentance, surely they receive forgiveness. It's not about the amount and how much sinful you are, how many sins you've committed. It's about God's grace and his forgiveness when we reach out to him. At times, we may not even appreciate ourselves because of our past, because of our lifestyle, and we feel, can anyone forgive me? Maybe people in our families, in our neighborhood, have told us, I can never forgive you for what you did. But I want to tell you, at the foot of the cross, there is room for every sinner. When we cry out to him, God, who is gracious and merciful, reaches out to his people and grants forgiveness to those that put their faith in the Son of God, who died on the cross for the sins of the world. And so Rahab demonstrates this. Some of us, we might have had the privilege of being raised in Christian homes. We may not have explored, as it were, the world and experienced what it means to live a wicked life. But there are some of us who have explored, and we might have been declared to be useless, and we were thought to be just a waste to our parents. But I can guarantee you, him who formed you in your mother's womb, when you come to him in your state and condition of sinfulness and cry out for forgiveness and mercy, he recreates you. And he can make you an instrument in his kingdom to extend the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would have thought of Rahab to take such preeminence in the story of the Lord Jesus. Rahab is also in the family tree of Christ. And she's a model of what it means to have faith in God. Let's move on. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Those who believe in the Son of God, Christ Jesus, for their forgiveness receive salvation. Rahab demonstrates faith, demonstrates what it means to put confidence and trust in God. Like I've mentioned, she stands out as a model of faith for Christians today. Let's move on to unpack the confession of Rahab. Like I mentioned, Rahab's actions were born out of faith in God, activated by the word of God. Scripture tells us that so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Listen from our confession, what she says. I know that God has given this land to you. Mark those words. She's not saying, I know God will give you that land. She's saying, I know God has given you this land. Are we seeing that? Already she knew, she was convinced it was a done deal as far as God is concerned. He is God who says a word and he keeps his word. Rahab, a pagan woman who dwelled in the land of people who worshipped idols, foreign gods, recognizes the God of the people of Israel is a true God. And I was trying to reflect and think, how did she learn that God had promised land to these people? And she speaks with great conviction. I know, not that God will give you, that God has given you this land. And it is for that reason, because of our conviction, because of her faith in God, she chose to risk her life because she knew you are a winner, you are never a loser when you identify with God, when you identify with God's people. Come what may, if it means me dying for choosing to identify myself with the people of God, I'm willing to do that. But she knew she was very safe in God because he's a great God. Let's move on. Listen to the way she acts. She acts within God's promise, like he had told his people, I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. She knew those words. How she learned about those promises, we are not told. Listen to her statement. And that statement demonstrates and defines what really faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For her, land was already given to the people of God. Even before they came, she had great faith in God's promise to Israel. Like I mentioned, as far as she was concerned, it was a done deal. May I remind us, dear brethren, that we can learn a lot from Rahab in trusting God's word. God is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, will he not fulfill it? For Rahab, she knew. This God, we've heard, not only have we heard, we've seen, is God who keeps his word. Surely God has given you this land. Rahab demonstrates to the believers what genuine faith works like in those that have put their faith in God. You trust God and his word, trusting all his promises. Look at your situation. Where is your hope? What makes you hanging on and pressing on in your situation? Is it the circumstance? Is it the people around you? No, if you are a child of God, I want to encourage you. Let the word of God be your foundation. Be your, if you like, life stream. Hold on to those promises in the midst of confusion, in the midst of doubt. Do not go by your feelings. Rest on God's word, what he has declared for his people. She knew for sure, based on what God had said, that he had given them land. Do not dwell on circumstances and situations and how things are moving. It's not about positive confession. No, it's about trusting what God has declared in his word. His word shall never pass away. We can count on God. He's not like man who changes his mind. He is true to his word. He is true to his promises. When we are faced with challenges, what do we lay our hands on? What do we hold on to? My encouragement to us is to learn from Rahab how much she had confidence in this God. A God she had just come to know through, as it were, whatever she saw and observed going on. She never experienced God like the children of Israel did, yet she had the great conviction of this God and great faith in this God. Are we together, people of God? And let's move on. She says, we've heard the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and we heard what you've done. Sihon and Og. The first part of that confession has to do with the mighty deeds of God for his people. He dried up the Red Sea. Now, what is interesting is she does not only look at God, but she's also convinced that this God works also through his people. The second part, she says, we have also heard what you did. Now referring to the people of God. Acknowledging by implication the fact that this God was working with the people of Israel. And she chose not to oppose them, not to fight against them, not to resist them, because she knew no one can withstand the mighty hand of God that was at work through his people. She chose to identify with them. Based on what Rahab had known about God's word, the promise to the people of Israel, she was able now to make this declaration and confession. She is able to say, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. She acknowledged God being sovereign over all in heaven and on earth. Her theology was excellent. Where she learned, we are not told. Isaiah declares about God. He says in Isaiah, we read Isaiah 66 verse 1, the part of that. He says, this is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where did she learn an excellent theology? Listen to the words of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23, 24. Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. He is God of heaven and God of earth. Her actions towards the spies were born out of this conviction she had about God and about his deeds. And as I wrap up, may I mention something what Rahab singled out on the mighty deeds of God. The Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea in delivering his people from Egypt. But I want to mention to us that there is even a greater deliverance that God has performed in the history of man. God becoming man. God becoming man. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. A great deliverance for the people of God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, that anyone who would believe in him would be saved. This is a great deliverance, more than the Exodus story of drying the Red Sea. God becoming man in order to reach out to you and me. We can identify with him. He is able to feel with us. He went through the pain and suffering. When we go through the struggles of life, he understands. He knows what it means to be homeless. He knows what it means to be without food. He knows what it means to lose a loved one. He knows what it means to be forsaken by your own people. He knows what it means to be a stranger among your people. He can identify with those that belong to him. God becoming man. A great deliverance for his people. May I say this as I close. Like Rahab, you might have heard mighty deeds of God through the preaching of God's word. You might have seen in your parents, you might have seen in your neighbors, you might have seen in other people testifying about the mighty acts of God. It should not end there with having that information about God. It should move you to trust him. It should move you to run to Christ, to make Christ your Savior, to make Christ your Lord and Savior of your life. Don't just be amazed by what God has done and continues to do in transforming lives of people. She says, we've seen, we've heard. But it didn't end there. She identified with this God, made this God our God, and joined the people of God. She does not just keep this deliverance to herself. She remembers her family. Friends, those of us who are Christians, we should be concerned for our family. Reaching out to them, telling them the good news about Christ. Rahab went and talked to her family that when judgment comes, when these men come, you should run to my house. That's the place of safety. We need to remind our family members, a day of judgment is coming. When God is going to judge the world, all those that are outside Christ who face the wrath of God. We need to be motivated. Come where I am in Christ, there is safety. Under his wings, there is safety. In Christ, we are safe and secure. We should not just enjoy the safety and the fellowship we have in Christ. It should motivate us to think of those that are outside, to call them in. Come. Under the cross where there is safety. When the day of judgment comes, those that are under Christ, because Christ fulfilled all the demands of the law. Christ paid the full penalty for our sins. In him we are safe and secure. Let people run to Christ. Reach out to your family members. We can learn a lot from Rahab. May I implore us as Christians, trust this God. trust this God. Trust His word. Trust His promises. Whether sunshine, rain day, whatever goes on in your life, hold on to His word. Hold on to His promises. He's a true and faithful God. You'll keep every word and every promise is given to His people. You can count on Him. He's a true friend who sticks closer than a brother. God coming among His people. We can count on Him. We can learn from Rahab. Let's reach out to this God and make Him to be our God. And let's make Christ to be ours, to know Him personally and experience the blessings of knowing Him. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the many things that we can learn from Rahab. We pray that you continue to encourage us to reach out to us. You who searches every heart and knows every need, may you meet us at the point of need. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds